Previously on Compassion Radio.
I tell my wife, I don't want to do this to them. They need a dad that can function. I don't want to have kids.
And that seems reasonable. It sounds selfless. But it may not be what God had in mind and what he saw in you.
Yes, I am so glad God did not listen to me. It's another one of those blessings that we run into a lot of times when God said, thanks for the input, I'll take it from here.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Where faith meets the challenge of real life. This is the daily radio journal of God's work in God's people all around God's world. Welcome, friend, to this edition of Compassion Radio. Yesterday began a powerful interview with a pastor, husband, father, student, and on top of that, he's dealing with an MS diagnosis. But in the face of it all, we see in this man the power of the resurrection. It is our encouragement in times of trial, and it's our ultimate hope. We've much to get to, so here's Bram to welcome back a man who is indeed a true inspiration.
We're back today with Peter Jackson, the pastor of Foundation Church here in Gripping Springs, Texas, and we've been hearing an incredible testimony, not of glorious and beautiful, wonderful things, but of actual humbling and hurting and painful things that are beautiful in what God has done with them. And Peter, your story so far has been inspiring, and it will continue to inspire the people that God brings you, that he entrusts to you as the spiritual head of this church, Foundation Church here in Dripping Springs, and in the many families that will be affected for the kingdom in the years to come. There's a harvest that's white all around us, and you see that. You see all of these professionals that are moving here from all parts of the world to be part of this booming economy around the Austin, Texas area. And you see them coming from every point on the globe. And our town just down the road from you and Kyle is the same way. We're seeing people moving in from other countries to be part of this bold economic experiment in growth, which is what is happening in the Sun Belt. It's exciting for me to see so many people coming to it. And I'm also realizing that I'm sitting at a place where God's bringing the whole world to me. I mean, I'm not even having to go to the world like I do for Compassion Radio month by month. The world's coming to me to find something. You know, and our churches are beautifully poised to make a big difference in a world community and to build a new kingdom community where we are. So tell me about the kind of people God's bringing to you now and what kind of faith stories are growing out of this new church.
Right now, who the Lord has blessed us with right off the bat are a lot of people that spend a lot of time outside of the church, not necessarily inside the church.
Or may have never before entered the church.
Not as much here. It's a lot of the de-churched.
Okay.
A lot of people that say, my
de-churched.
Parents made me go to church,
yeah.
And I was raised in it, but I haven't been back in a while. Or people that said, I moved here 6 years ago, never really plugged in anywhere. Or people that, you know, my parents quit going when I was a kid, and I know I need to get back. But the kind of people, it's been incredibly humbling to me, a lot of business professionals and a lot of ex-military or current military in some manner or fashion are a lot of people that are on our original launch team. And it's made my wife and I do a lot of soul searching, saying, you know, what is our value to these people who on the outside, the world standards, have done so much more than we've done, have accomplished so much more than we've accomplished, they have physical possessions so much more than we have, but we've realized the great story that the gospel is the great equalizer among humanity.
Yeah.
As Paul talked, he said there's neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free nor any division among humanity when it comes to salvation.
Right.
So my wife and I, as we're being humbled and blessed by these people joining this movement, this church plant, it's again teaching us. We think we're in this position of leadership, but you never get to the place where you're not going to learn.
Yeah,
and it's again
for sure.
Teaching us this great humility that, again, you can't prop yourself up in this.
No.
You're not going to make yourself good enough for me to use you. It's only me that makes you worth listening to. It's only me that makes you appear to these people that have so much more than you on the outside. But internally, we are all dealing with the same struggles.
In last program, you mentioned that God had already brought you through that chapter in your life. So you do have some previous experience of what it's like to be living the American dream, bootstrapping your way to success, and being young and effectively wealthy, or at least on the trajectory towards being wealthy in American terms. So that had a lot of promise there, but God called you a different direction because he brought the world back into your eyes and your heart. But at the same time, as you said, the gospel is not the great equalizer so much as a great leveler. He plows through the mountains and makes the high places low and low places he raises up. He flattens the board so that we can build again and build something that he intends to last for eternity. And so this Foundation Church is like that. And your lives got leveled in more than one way. He challenged you to step away from material wealth, but he also leveled you by flattening you with a diagnosis of MS, which you've been living with the reality of the diagnosis, but also been living with the reality of God's provision and sustenance, lifting you up literally and helping you to stand, but also blessing you in ways that are miraculous. So you live that testimony day by day, and it's part of your authority as a pastor to say, this is what God did for me. So how does that inform the way you preach now, and how do you teach people to find their God story so that they can also share it with others?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. A big part of it is a lot of us don't consider our story worth being heard.
Yes, we don't.
Or we think that if we talk about ourselves, we're going to sound egotistical, or we're going to sound like we think it's all about us. But we have to remember the only stories that inspire us are the stories we hear.
Yes.
And it's actually more of an act of selfishness to withhold something that might bless somebody else.
Yeah.
So another big part of my story in that, and how I'm teaching my church and how I've taught people along the way a lot of times, is since I was going to make it on my own, I would always tell people no when they tried to help. Let me help you out. No, I got this. I'm fine. And God really spoke to me about, you are stealing people's blessings.
Yes.
Because God has instructed them to help you out and to pitch in here. And you're not letting them receive a blessing from me because of your selfishness.
Yeah.
And so a big part of our story and a big part of our foundation, what we're going to be built on as a church, we're about to enter small group settings and getting trained to launch the church full time. And a lot of it's going to be built on, you need to learn how to share your personal story and testimony, because even if you're a good choir boy or you're a heathen sinner, if sin's a real thing, then God has been a gracious, good God that has rescued you from something terrible. And we need to learn how to inspire others with the fact that it has nothing to do with really how I lived my life, but has everything to do with the God and how he lived his life, Jesus, and gave himself for us. And so therefore my story is a miracle and it is powerful because it involves Jesus being raised from the dead and raising me from the dead and giving me a new life in him.
And to pause right there on that, we think, oh great, it's time for testimony. I'm going to say all the Jesus words. I'm going to use all the church talk. I'm going to win people over by my vocabulary. It's not that. It is something much more personal and real. So how do you share with people, this is how to get to the heart of your story?
We want to talk about something that's raw and real and visceral, something I feel down in my gut. And so when I talk to people about sharing their story, especially when I've led other students to lead a Bible study, they're like, what should I teach on? What should I share? I say, whatever God has placed firmly in your heart that you really feel down deep in yourself and you know it to be true that he's shown you. And so when I go to share my story, it has to be something that I really struggled with, not one of those fantasyful, okay, well, I just didn't read my Bible enough and I didn't pray enough. It's like, no, I struggle with an addiction. God walked me through this dark area here in my life. And so when it's time to share testimonies, it's not time to be pretty. As Paul said, I didn't come to you with fancy speech, but I came to you just knowing the power of God and his resurrection. And so we want to teach our people, it's okay that your life was messed up, because the point of your testimony is God's glory, and God doesn't get a ton of glory for fixing something that wasn't broken.
And the power of resurrection is not manifested in the living, it's manifested in the dead.
Exactly. When he was a physician, he came to heal the sick, not the well.
Now, I want to make sure we make very clear that we're not talking about sensationalism. In other words, that testimonies are not powerful because they have sensational facts or things that are outlandish. And that we're not comparing each other's badness in testimonies.
Yeah, that can get slippery.
It's simply about being, you say raw, meaning uncooked. In other words, it's not been simmered to a nice, even finish. This is about the things that God's really doing. Now, it doesn't have to be sensational, but it has to be true.
Exactly.
And it doesn't need to be churchy and full of church jargon.
Right.
At the same time, we are talking about giving honest testimony to the fact that God, the eternal God, manifested his power in us by redeeming us from something.
Right.
We do have a journey that we are on, and if we can't give words to that, then we need to literally ask God, do I have a story that begins with you? And if not, Lord, please enter into this so I know what you're doing, so I have something to share, because you are an awesome God and I want to know you better. I would think every good testimony would begin with a prayer of, I don't know what to say, but God, you do.
Right.
And you know what these people need to hear, so I will not be ashamed of sharing how you've worked in me.
Right. A lot of times we approach, I think, our testimony and our story with making sure it's all buttoned up real nice. The other day, my 3-year-old son came out and he had his favorite dinosaur shirt on, and I'm looking at him. I said, oh, buddy, you missed buttons. Your shirt's on crooked and sideways. And he didn't know. He'd just given it. It was real. It was him. I buttoned my shirt, Dad. I'm 3. And when we give our testimony, we need to be okay with not being buttoned up all the right way.
Yeah.
Because we can't do it well ourselves anyhow. It's God's power and what he does. And so it's really important to not make sure, like you said, I'm churchy, I'm polished, I have all the right words. As long as you're telling your personal story of how God graciously interacted with you in your life, you can't rate pain, you can't rate struggle. There is pain and there is struggle, and each person's is theirs, and you can't rate a level of this or that. It's how God interacted with us that's the power. It's not how bad we were that's the power.
Thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Compassion Radio. We're going to get you right back to the interview. Just wanted to let you know that in case you missed part of today's program, or any of our shows for that matter, you can listen back at any time that's convenient for you at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to the interview.
Sometimes I've noticed that the people that seem to fall the flattest when it comes to testimony time are people that I don't really believe they believe their own story. That they think they're having to put this on because it's expected of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really their story because they don't even want to tell it. I would think that a testimony would be one that's just ready to burst out of you because God's brought it up and showed you how incredible that work is and how much he loves you.
Yeah, it shouldn't take a lot of preparatory work.
No.
If God has actively been dealing with you in your life, someone should ask you about how God's been dealing with you, and you should say, you have a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has been. And if he hasn't, I can tell you this for me personally. I was raised in a Christian home. I walked the aisle when I was 6 years old, professed faith, got baptized, because that's what good Baptist kids did.
And you're the Baptist Baptist.
Yes, and I recognized when I was in my mid-20s and I'm writing out my testimony, which has to include before God, how I met God, and after God, that I became a Christian when I was 18 years old. And I distinctly remember the time that the Holy Spirit overwhelmed me as I'm driving away from a girl's house. And I had not done what was right. And God overwhelmed me with the fact that you are what you think you hate in humanity. You are these things. And I had to park my truck in the middle of the road and get out and get on my knees in this old country road, middle of the night. Fortunately, there's no other cars. And I literally got on my knees in the middle of the road and prayed that, God, it's yours now. I'm not going to keep trying to make myself acceptable. I'm not going to keep trying to do all this the right way because I fail at it. I am an Old Testament Jew. I just can't get this right.
Yeah. Well, I need a Savior.
It's very, very powerful when we recognize those times where God interacted with us based on himself and his holiness and not necessarily ourself and our holiness. And it wasn't really about our badness. It was about his goodness.
And how gentle he is when he comes to our rescue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they seem like we're being steamrollered, but the truth is God is not crushing us to oblivion. He's literally squeezing out of us the thing that's killing us.
He's setting us free from those things that have had hold of us for so long that we didn't always notice or always pay attention to or always want to admit. Yeah.
That goes back to a couple of the last points you gave us in the sermon that I heard you preach this past Sunday. We've been going through the story, which is a year-long journey through the Bible, thanks to the great author and pastor Max Lucado, who offered this book called The Story, which is a neat way of adding narrative back to the story of the Bible so we can actually follow the arc of the story. And you preached on the foundations here about what it means to actually be in community. And the last 2 points you raised for us is that community means shared deliverance and shared experience. What's God been delivering your church family through as you get prepared to the launch of this community, become a full-fledged member of this community, a new church that's going to stay and grow?
Shared deliverance. A recent shared deliverance we got to experience was little baby JD, who was born with hypoplastic left heart syndrome and has had 3 surgeries in the first 4 months of his life. And this past Friday, he got to be strolled out of a hospital by his mama for the first time in his life. And tomorrow he gets to come home here to Kyle, Texas. They've been in Houston since September. And this is a huge celebration of God's goodness when there was bad times and there was infections and this doesn't look right, and God has shared this great deliverance. And we've already had a baptism. We have another baptism coming forward. And it's huge stories of deliverance. One is a man that's 6'9 and played professional basketball and was angry at God for years and years and years. And on the oil fields, as he's contemplating suicide, he said some crazy old trucker tells him, "You're worthy." And he realized that he was speaking to him from the Lord, and he dives into the scriptures and he realized, "I'm actually worth something." I can quit Google searching $1 million life insurance policies so I can take care of my family that way, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to take care of them spiritually. And he's now bringing his son, and he's still talking to his daughters and his wife. And this is a man we're about to baptize, and another young man we already did baptize who was raised by multiple parents and just had a rough upbringing. And we baptized him in Onion Creek a little while ago. And his only thing he could share for his testimony was, "I used to sin so much and it overcame me, but now Jesus has set me free." And then he apologized because he didn't know what to say. I said, "You said everything. You have encompassed the meaning of life, that Jesus here has come to set us free from these things that have us." And we got to experience that as a community. There's 40 of us there hearing him say these words and apologizing for not having anything to say. And we experienced the power of God, even though he didn't really understand all the implications and all how far that goes.
Yeah.
And we got to share in the deliverance of little baby JD. And he's coming home tomorrow, and we're going to party, and we're going to go over there, and we're going to just enjoy God's goodness in the life of that little baby.
And we saw the picture up there on the screen on Sunday of this baby JD in a stroller. It looked like any smiling baby picture you might see on Facebook from your friends saying, "Celebrate the birthday of this kid with us." And I'm like, "Wow, what a cute kid. Big, bright smile. Wide open face." And you just say, "That's the kind of kid that I would love to have had." And you don't know his story.
Yeah.
And then you start telling his story. And that picture becomes so much more. Because now the lives of the parents and their faith, the lives of the community and church around them and their faith are all invested in this one picture. The story makes a difference. It matters.
It was powerful to see God's deliverance as we looked through the scriptures, and we were talking about Elisha last Sunday and God's deliverance of him and his servant that were surrounded by the enemy, because we need to understand in our lives that when our lives seem out of control, God is always in control. And whenever we feel like we've been surrounded, God has the enemy surrounded, because evil doesn't win the day, God does.
Now, I'd like to wrap up with a few minutes spent on the issue of enemies, because we often, as a ministry, go to places where the enemies of America abound.
Mm-hmm.
And we're walking refugee camps, and we're dealing with people who have been the victims firsthand of the evils of things like the Taliban or ISIS, other abominations in our world today. And we're often asked as a ministry, why do you even bother to go? I mean, why would you even go to a place where the ISIS even exists? And we say, first of all, because their victims are right there. I mean, if nothing else, but to go to those who need care and need love. And they said, but there are not any Christians out there. I said, that's not really true. There are many, many Christians in the Middle East that we're just beginning to meet and know about.
Right.
We're trying to bring that awareness to our audience. But there are also many people who don't know Jesus yet, that this country is looking at as being enemies of the state, and they're being forbidden from coming to our country. So there's a whole bunch of political issues wrapped up in that. But on the spiritual end of things, enemies matter to God. And you made a big point of this at the end of your sermon by talking about the story of Elisha and his servant there being pursued by the king of
Syria.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about how God responds to enemies.
God, in the story of Elisha, if you remember, Elisha and his servant are in Dothan. They're completely surrounded by the Syrian army. This is a Syrian army that's been raiding Israel for years, killing people, taking them captive, ruining their crops, all these things. And just terrible things have been done to them. And Elisha prays that the servant's eyes will be open. And when they are, there's chariots of fire surrounding the army. And as God's speaking this story to me, I'm saying, awesome, we've got him now. God will kill his enemies, yeah, and it'll be done. But what happens in the story is Elisha...
So we're screaming for justice.
Yeah, we want justice. As Matt Chandler once eloquently put it, we love for everybody to get justice except us.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a very poignant saying. And the story continues. Elisha prays, and the enemy is blinded, and he walks them into Samaria, where they're surrounded by the Israelite troops. And then the king...
And this is not around the corner. He's talking about a multi-day journey across country.
And they have to deal with these enemies the whole way.
Yeah.
And then the king of Israel asks Elisha, what should we do? He says, well, the Lord says, feed them dinner and send them home. It's so powerful to say, wait, these are the enemy that has been attacking them, has been going after them. And God says, I have them. I can take care of them. I can kill them now. But instead, let's treat them kindly and send them back to their country with kindness and a meal. And it says in the story that follows, says Syria never raided Israel again because of the kindness that was shown them that day. And so what has the Lord told us to do with our enemies? It says love them and pray for those that persecute us.
Yeah.
And that's at home and abroad. We can look at that politically. We can look at that as far as terrorism. We can look at that as far as our neighbor who has, you know, Christmas-like competitions with us, whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
We've been told to love and to pray for these people that have been set up, established as something Satan wants to use to get under our skin,
right,
or to get after us, or to physically come after us.
Right.
We've been told to love them and pray for them.
And there are plenty of places that we go as a ministry where we see people persecuted physically for their faith simply because they exist. Giving testament to that is very difficult even for us, because that's true. And we know that even telling the truth means that others would use that as a reason to hate. It's not for that. You're talking about an Old Testament story with Elisha here in Dothan that has New Testament ramifications, because God in his mercy was acting practically with his enemies in the Old Testament, just like he's living through Jesus in the New Testament. This is the same God here. It's not about New Testament versus Old Testament. This is about false religion and a true, loving, living, transforming, redeeming, redemptive, resurrecting God.
Yes, and we love to say that we've been created in the image of God, God's image. Genesis 1:27, he made man in his image, and the man in our image we created them, male and female. That applies to all humanity, so we are never to approach humanity based on their sin or their stance on their opinion of us. We approach humanity based on their image bearing.
Yeah.
And when we approach humanity on their image bearing, we break it down to the facts that God created them in his image like he created us in his image, then we can easily start removing and peeling back the layers of hate and animosity and those things, because we're looking at a human that's made in the image of God and not just an action or an attitude.
Or a politics.
Or politics.
Yeah, and we live in an area of Texas which would be fairly conservative, but this is a real melting pot. This is a world city we're living next to.
We are the neighbor of Austin,
yeah,
which is, yeah, a different color when the voting maps come out, when it says who did what.
And God is calling people of all stripes in this area, like he is in every world city around the world. So I'm thrilled that we get to live now as one of these world cities, become part of this world thing God's doing. And I'm proud of you, Peter, for your testimony of active and activist living gospel with boots on, that you're living that way. And we pray, as you have prayed over the years, that God would continue to let your boots be able to keep moving, and that even in the face of the diagnosis of MS you faced a few years ago, that God's going to keep you moving at full speed as long as he wants you upright and running. But you will never in your heart ever be floored, because you committed your entire self to the work and to the ministry and to the life of the body of Christ and to your family. And I trust that God's going to do miracle after miracle and continue this testimony through your life for the years to come.
So do I. Thank you. As I quoted in the last session, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. What will be added unto you? Enough to accomplish the purpose of God.
Hmm.
I will walk long enough as God needs me to walk. I will run far enough as God needs me to run, because he will provide all these things if I seek his kingdom first.
Amen. Peter Jackson, pastor of the Foundation Church here in Dripping Springs, Texas. Thank you so much again for joining us on Compassion Radio.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And there you have it. A great way to wrap up this two-part series with Pastor Peter Jackson and conclude this week of tremendous programs here on Compassion Radio. It is indeed our honor, pleasure, and privilege to continue to serve you this way.
After all, Compassion Radio has seen the hand of God at work for close to 74 years. And next month, we'll begin our 75th year as a radio broadcast ministry.
With so much to be thankful for, it's sometimes difficult to look ahead for the next blessing God has in store. We at Compassion Radio would like to challenge you to look ahead. As this ministry forges into the future, your call or gift of support is significant to the ongoing outreach of Compassion Radio. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or look us up online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale.
Have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back with you again next week with more Compassion Radio.